Well, that's it, I'm afraid, for another show today. So I'd like to thank our guest, Sami Al-Arian, and, of course, our resident expert, Professor David Miller. Palestine Declassified will be back next week with more forensic investigations and analysis. So until next time, this is Chris Williamson saying bye for now.
In the limelight.
The Al-Aqsa Storm operation that the Palestinian resistance launched in the wee hours of October 7 morning marked a milestone in the history of more than 75 years of illegal occupation of Palestine by the Zionist regime forces. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV noted the surprise military operation destroyed any hope of the permanence of the racist apartheid Israeli entity, which is an imperialist project of Western hegemony in the West Asia region. The immediate decision taken by governments in Washington and London to send dozens of warships to the shores of occupied Palestine underlined the fact that they are the protectors of the Zionist entity. Joe Biden and Rishi Sunak not only backed the apartheid regime, but amplified its propaganda. For Muslim nations who have or still are mulling normalization with the illegitimate regime in Tel Aviv, the present Israeli aggression against the people of Palestine has proved beyond any doubt that U.S. imperialism, arrogance and terrorism is the biggest enemy of Islam and Muslims. The U.S. regime militarily and financially supports the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Muslim countries that host U.S. military bases have betrayed Islam and the case of Palestinians. It is akin to hosting Israeli regime military bases. The bombs the Israeli regime has been raining down on hapless Palestinian children in the besieged Gaza Strip were given to them by the U.S. regime free of charge. The largest U.S. air base outside the country is in Qatar, and the largest U.S. naval base is in Bahrain. These U.S. bases are not protecting the Muslim population, but are meant to protect the racist, apartheid Israeli regime, the biggest project of the Western hegemonic barbarians in human history. These Muslim nations hosting U.S. military bases cannot claim support for the freedom of Palestine. They are indirectly complicit in the ongoing genocide of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. These are two contradictions that can never coexist. It is either you support the total liberation of Palestine, or you host U.S. military bases to oppose the freedom of Palestine. The bomb that murdered at least 500 Palestinian civilians in a Gaza hospital was a U.S.-made bomb. The jet that transported that bomb was manufactured in the United States. The satellite that coordinated that heinous crime against humanity was also made in the United States. All Muslims should always remember this. If you are a Muslim, the U.S. regime is your sworn enemy. Statistically, the U.S. regime is the biggest killer of Muslims in history. They murdered more Muslims than the Genghis Khan hordes of the past. Since the 9/11 attacks, the U.S. regime has murdered more than 5 million Muslims and displaced more than 35 million. Which enemy is worse than this? It was the U.S. regime that led the Western hegemonic barbarians to destroy the Muslim countries of Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, and Libya. For more than 40 years, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been reeling under unjust U.S. sanctions. The Western sanctions were intended to starve Iranians to their death, another form of genocide. Inference, the struggle to liberate Palestine from more than 75 years of illegal Israeli occupation starts with the closure of U.S. military bases and the expulsion of U.S. troops from Qatar, Bahrain, Jordan, Turkey, UAE, Saudi Arabia, Niger, Iraq, and Syria. They are there to protect the racist apartheid Israeli entity. Imam Khomeini was right to call the U.S. regime the Great Satan. And why should a Muslim bring the biggest Satan to his house? Unfortunately, the majority of Muslim Arab governments have betrayed Palestine. Just imagine if these countries were doing half of what Iran and its allies are doing to support Palestine, the apartheid Zionist regime would not exist today. Conversely, the entire Western hegemony is in support of the fabricated Israeli regime. Any weapons that they have, the racist Israeli barbarians must have them. Conversely, the entire Western hegemony is in support of the Zionist regime. They send more than $10 billion to the Israeli regime every year as aid. The Muslim population in countries where U.S. military bases are located should rise up and insist on the closure of all these U.S. military bases because they are there to protect the Zionist entity.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoint. I am Beta, and today again I have the honor to be at your service as the host of today's episode. And with me there are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you. It's an honor to have you here with me. In this episode, we're going to talk about pluralism, which before going through this concept, I'm going to recite you one of the verses of Holy Quran. Surely, the true religion with Allah is Islam. And those to whom the book had been given didn't show opposition, but after knowledge had come to them out of envy among themselves. And whoever disbelieves in the communication of Allah, then surely Allah is quick in reckoning. So I wanted to start our episode with this beautiful answer to the school of thought of pluralism. And then we're going to dig more into these concepts. So, you know, the point is, all the things that you mentioned are true. And this time-consuming actually process that we have to go through in order to gain this belief in religion is a bit kind of something like extra for my generation, because it feels like we don't need it. I mean, the need of religion is being lost here. Why? And how should we change this perspective in this actually generation?
That's the thing. We don't see the importance of religion anymore.
Yeah.
Like the materialistic life that we're living in, the man that we're living in, we're not seeing, and it's also noteworthy that we are living at a time where there is no, or the lack of that true infestation or manifestation or illustration of religion in someone. Like for the people who lived during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, they saw religion, they could see religion manifested in who? In the Prophet himself. During our times, we see the people who are, you know, living themselves enough time where there is no imam. And the best that they have are scholars who, for example, who they themselves admit that we are not like the Prophet, and we're not infested, we're not, you know, like the Prophet as role models.
Yeah,
they're our best chance, you know. And I think that that farness from our religion is really also kind of hurting us. And
yeah, thank you, Sheikh.
It's a two-way thing, you know. Like
yeah,
it's okay. As scholars, it's our obligation, and as for the community, it's their also obligation to look.
Thank you. Yeah,
unlike respected Sheikh, I want to say something else. Sheikh believes that, yes, tendency towards religion has been, has
faded
gotten
away.
Weak and
yeah.
actually faded away. I want to say, to say vice versa, to say that those who dedicate themselves to religion and religious teachings are not few in number. I mean, if we want to compare it to the time of the Prophet, I can say it even. It is even, to some extent, even more than that. Yes,
yeah.
There were some who were in front of the prophets, not only the Prophet of Islam, even other prophets who stood in front of the prophets. But here we see even those who believe in religion, though we see some cases of being indifferent towards religion, as you mentioned, Sam, and you refer to some cases and evidences, but in comparison to other religions and even the followers of the Holy Prophet, I can say even today is even more. Let's have a positive look on this issue. I can give you an example to make it more tangible. When the Holy Prophet was reciting the khutbas or sermons of Jum'ah, people were scattering, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them at the time of Salat of Jum'ah, come and gather in this center and follow the Holy Prophet and his sermon. And the Surah Al-Jum'ah actually was revealed. What we see in this time when people, for example, like a case that happened in Salat Al-Jum'ah in Tehran, when the leader of the Salat was in blood while his hand was torn up and by a bomb that was, we see that people were collecting from different parts towards the center, even those who have not been in the congregation or prayer at that time. So this is a sample that we see that even those who have been with the Holy Prophet, when the Holy Prophet ordered some to join, for example, join the army of Osama, but we see some even close companions of the Prophet did not attend that army. But here at this time, that Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said that even the people at this time are more loyal to the people of the time of the Prophet, to Islam.
Yeah.
We see that people, when they are asked, for example, by the leader of the Islamic Ummah just to join this army, we see plenty of people were joining, and even some without being even asked to go from other countries came and joined, for example. We see that this sense of religiosity has not dead yet. I mean, it is alive in the people, and it is even stronger. But in comparison with the population that was at that time, till the population that or the population that we see today, definitely there must be a difference. But all in all, the quality and even the number, I think, is not that low.
Yeah.
But let's be back to our discussion on pluralism.
I think we're living in a really difficult era because, as you mentioned, I think the tendency for having a religious, for having something to actually have your hand on is stronger than before, okay? But because of the lack of a present role model for us, which we believe that he's just, we believe that he's innocent, and because of that, I think the difficulties arise, and because of that, because we cannot rely on someone, and there is no true person, no infallible here among us to put all our trust in that, we try to avoid it, you know, and this is a kind of matter of avoidance, not the matter of the lowering of tendency. So the thing that we're going to talk more about is this relation between this way of thinking of pluralism and Mahdaviyat ideology. What do you think about it?
Look, pluralist thinking system actually has some internal conflict and paradox inside it. From one side, it says anyone who believes in any religion is leading to salvation. So how is it possible that, for example, I believe in Islam, that in that I believe in monotheism, in oneness and uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other one who believes in another religion who believes in Trinity? So and, do we, I mean, have any conflict here? Don't we see any paradox here?
Yeah.
So definitely there is a paradox inside it. And it's actually, it has a sort of self-hatred. I mean, this concept of pluralism has a sort of self-hatred in that. That is, some elements of it are actually are denying the other elements. For example, if you believe in Buddhism and it preaches you to, for example, salvation, but you see there are many elements in Buddhism that actually contradicts with, for example, Christianity or Judaism or Judaism. You see, so this idea, it means, since, as brother mentioned, that it is due to paying too much attention to, you know, to man as the center of the universe, rather than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the creator being the center of the universe. I mean, man-centrism causes this to say such a thing. I mean, without any study or without having any attention towards the necessity of religion as something that, a program that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your creator, has put forward for you as his creature. So this is a program, or let's say manual, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I just make it a good term to make it closer to understanding, so saying manual to this is not that much beautiful. So you neglect the role of God, and you actually put all the attention to human and man as a center of universe. That's the result, that you think that, okay, different religions, you say something that you are not aware of the consequences of that, that they contradict each other. So even from a Quranic perspective, this pluralism is in vain. I mean, is of no use, because again, the same verse that you mentioned is in Al-Quran, that is, there is only one way of salvation, and that is Al-Islam, submission. Submission in the course of history, it happened by different religions, but at this time it is by Islam, with respect to other religion, other prophets, past prophets.
Thank you, brother.
So again, at the time of Mahdawi, at the time that you, I think, referred to some question that how is it going to work with the Mahdawi utopia, or Mahdawi government, or Mahdavism, or Mahdawiya? Look, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is going to implement Quranic rulings and Islamic rulings, the same way that we said Islam is against pluralism, and Islam is against, and Quran is against pluralism. So Imam is going to introduce this high and noble example, which is Al-Quran and Al-Islam. Definitely it should be, again, in contradiction with Mahdavi as well.
Thank you, Brother Ali. Sheikh, I have a question here, is our last question of this episode, which is, okay, we're telling this fact that the only religion that is the only way to salvation is Islam, nothing more, nothing less, and no other religion. So what will happen to all these population in the history that had belief in other religions other than Islam? What will happen to them eventually?
The best way to look at it is actually to look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi dealt with the concept himself in Medina, and that also with Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam when he was ruling. And we stated that, I think, at the beginning of the show, the beginning of the last show, I forgot. But Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, the Muslims used to coexist with other Abrahamic religions. So they coexist, but for example, the concept of jizya, right? The giving of jizya is a specific tax that the non-Muslims used to give to the Muslim government. Why? Because Muslims were obligated, you could put it philosophically in this way, Muslims were obligated to pay some sort of tax to give back to the government, so the government could, you know, expand and whatnot, and the poor would be able to live, and so on, for the various uses of what we call in fiqh nowadays, baytul mal. And because they were non-obligated, for example, with zakat, they would have to pay a different kind of taxing, and that it would be considered jizya. And there's also various ways. One of the concepts of khums, the land that the non-believer owns, there has to be a 20% giving. It's also a manner of, you know, them getting safety inside Islamic countries or Islamic governments. So at the end of the day, you know, we can coexist with other Abrahamic religions. And at the end of the day, like, people who were non-Muslims or didn't receive the message of Islam, they were doing correctly during the time. They were following, you know, they were submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran himself, you know, differs between the let's call them Christians who were following the true faith and the Christians who were not following the true faith. They were following the, you know, the fabricated Christian religion. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to state that now the submission towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now considered to be one of the manifestations of the submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there cannot be no religion, there's no true religion without the following of the Prophet and his teachings.
Yeah, thank you, Sheikh. And Brother Ali, anything to add as the last part?
Thank you very much. Nothing more. The Sheikh actually said everything.
Thank you. Thank you both for being with me in this episode two. And just don't forget that there is one religion here for you, which is Islam, and Islam is submission to Allah Almighty. And that's all. You know, I think we're living in a world that we tend to make everything difficult to understand, make everything philosophical and different, but it's just a bit simple if you think about it. Thank you for listening to me. I wish you enjoy the episode of today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Allah. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, here is a short and sweet saying worth pondering upon from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Luck has degrees. So do not hasten towards a fruit that is not ripe, because it is picked only at its time.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
On Saturday, October 7th, the Palestinian resistance group Hamas launched the biggest attack on Israel in years. A surprise assault in which gunmen crossed into several Israeli towns while a heavy barrage of rockets fired from the Gaza Strip. In a matter of minutes, over 5,000 rockets were fired, targeting Ashdod and Tel Aviv, effectively bringing the regime to a grinding halt. The attack marked an unprecedented infiltration by an unknown number of Hamas gunmen into Israel from Gaza, and one of the most serious escalations in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in years. On Sunday, October 8th, Hamas military wing media published a video unveiling Zuari, drones the group used to pave the way for the infiltration into the Israeli side. Hamas said the operation was a response to Israeli attacks on women, the desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Al-Quds, and the ongoing siege of Gaza.
The broad military operation initiated by the Izzeddin al-Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of the Hamas movement, came in the context of the continuation of the Palestinian national struggle in accordance with international law and in response to the daily occupation attacks against al-Aqsa Mosque and against the citizens there, as well as occupation daily killings in the West Bank and for the sake of liberating Palestinian prisoners in occupation prisons.
David Friedman, the former U.S. ambassador to Tel Aviv during the Trump administration, expressed astonishment over the Hamas operation this way. "I've never seen the border breached in this manner. Usually, even one person from Gaza gets closer to the border, they're intercepted and neutralized long before they can do anything. This is just something I've never seen before. It's, of course, a large intelligence failure." In response to the attack, Israel declared war and launched Operation Swords of Iron on Gaza, battering Palestinians with deadly airstrikes in Gaza.
"What happened to us is complete destruction. We are Al-Babab family, and there were 150 people at this building, including my uncle's family, my sister's family, family of my uncles, whose houses were destroyed. It is not suitable to stay in now. They are residing with our relatives, our friends and beloved ones."
This is Sabrine Abu Daqa, who was ducked from the rubble of the houses struck in Khan Yunus. She learned in hospital that three of her children had been killed, two of them had been wounded, and the fate of a sixth was unclear.
I was at home and suddenly we heard a sound and everything fell over our heads. My children were next to me. One of them was next to my legs and the others were next to me. My brother Sabir was a bit further. Nothing happened to him. I was hiding behind the sofa and the door, so there was no pressure on me, only on my leg. But I didn't hear any sound coming from my children. I called them, but I didn't hear a sound coming from them. Suddenly, I heard my brother Sabir calling. The first moment I heard his voice, I shouted and I said, "I'm here." And when they recognized me, they started calming me down. And then they started removing the rubble from above me. It took them 3 hours to remove the rubble above me. But my children died. Khalid died, Reis died, Mariam died. Asif went missing. When they pulled me out of the rubble, I saw everything damaged. The houses are damaged. That's the only thing I saw. And then I went to the hospital. I found that everybody was injured. We have many injured and dead people.
Abu Daqa and residents of three other homes destroyed in the airstrikes said they had received no forewarning from Israel, saying this was different from previous rounds of bombardment, during which Israeli forces had called residents, telling them to evacuate in advance of an attack. The regime, however, says civilians in Gaza have been told to leave their residential areas immediately for their safety.
Prime Minister Netanyahu tweeted on Saturday telling residents of Gaza to leave now because we will operate forcefully everywhere. Where is the idea of where people in Gaza will go?
This is something also that we have been discussing with our counterparts in Israel and with our counterparts in Egypt. And without getting into the specifics of safe passage for civilians and so forth, I will say it's something that the U.S. government is seized with in supporting how we do that operationally. But the details of that are something that are being discussed among the operational agencies, and I don't want to share too much of that publicly at this time.
Sitting on the ground in dismay in front of dead bodies wrapped in white sheets, Ghazan Ala Al-Kafarna, who lost 8 family members, said he was the only survivor. Kafarna, injured and with his arm in a cast, fled 2 locations with his family before being hit by an Israeli airstrike that killed his pregnant wife, his brother, father, 2 cousins, and 2 extended family members.
We received a message to leave Beit Hanun town, so we went to beach refugee camp. They threatened the building we were in, so we went to find safety in the beach camp. But the building we were in was also threatened, so we had to move to Sheikh Radwan town, where we stayed in an apartment there. Suddenly, around 4 a.m., a strike hit us, and we don't know why. We have done nothing, and that's all.
The Israeli military on Friday, October 13th, called on all civilians in Gaza City to evacuate southwards as it maintains its bombardment of the coastal enclave. That would involve moving more than 1.1 million people from the north to the south of the besieged enclave in 24 hours, a task that experts say is impossible without causing major humanitarian consequences.
Nowhere in Gaza is safe, and this is the general feeling of the entire population, not only myself. I had to move my family for 3 times so far in the last 24 hours, based on information shared for larger communities in Gaza by the Israeli authorities or the IDF, asking them to move and evacuate this area and go to another area without clear instructions or safe passages. And this is a concern for the public, but also for the ICRs. The lack of clear instructions and safe passages could lead to more devastation or civilian loss, especially when we are witnessing an intensified, round of escalation or airstrikes.
Between October 7th and 12th, Israel dropped 6,000 bombs on the impoverished territory, equivalent to the total number of airstrikes in Gaza during the entire 2014 Gaza-Israel conflict, which lasted 50 days.
According to the latest updates, a total of 159 housing units and 13 apartment buildings have been completely destroyed. Additionally, approximately 1,200 housing units in 36 residential buildings have become totally uninhabitable.
At the same time, the Israeli regime has imposed a complete siege on Gaza, blocking delivery of electricity, food, fuel, and water. A humanitarian crisis in Gaza is rapidly spiraling amid warnings that people are at risk of starvation as Israel tightens its chokehold on the territory. Hospitals are also expected to run out of fuel, leading to catastrophic conditions. Human rights groups have meanwhile warned of possible war crimes being committed by Israel in Gaza. As of Friday, October 13th, the death toll from the Israeli war on Gaza rose to 2,215, including 724 children. At least 423,000 people were forced to flee their homes in the Gaza Strip, according to the United Nations. Even as the fighting is taking a dramatic turn, bringing critical danger to civilians, people in Gaza still express support for Palestinian forces.
"We woke to the sounds of explosions, with fear and panic prevailing everywhere. People on the Palestinian streets are tense and terrified, and no one knows what the coming days will bring. We are uncertain whether we will survive this night and see the dawn of a new day.
I came here to purchase food and supplies for my family to prepare for this sudden situation. We support the resistance efforts and stand in solidarity with them. We all hope that they will successfully reach the city of Jerusalem in their mission."
Hamas's operation has already shattered the Israeli regime's invincibility myth. The regime desperately tries to restore the myth but launching an indiscriminate, bloody campaign against innocent civilians has never been considered as a sign of power. Is the writing on the wall for the regime? We have to wait and see.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum and welcome to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this week, we're going to speak about Palestine. So be with us.
Salamullah ya Qudus, فداك الروح والنفس سلام الله يا قدس فداك الروح والنفس مهاد الدين والتقوى سلام الحب والنجوى وهل يا قدس لا نقوى مهاد الدين والتقوى سلام الحب والنجوى وهل يا قدس لا نقوى
Today, Monday, is the 7th of Rabiu Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Retreat Calendar, corresponding to the 1st of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Retreat Calendar, and the 23rd of October, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. Today, Chapter Esra, verse 1, we'll listen to.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjidil haram ilal masjidil aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. Innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir.
Exalted is he who took his servant by night from al-Masjid al-Haram to al-Masjid al-Aqsa, whose surroundings we have blessed to show him of our signs. Indeed, he is the hearing, the seeing.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
By using the phrase Masjid al-Aqsa here meant Bayt al-Muqaddas, which is the farthest mosque for at all time. At that time, no other mosque existed farther than that. We had blessed its entire surroundings with material, spiritual, worldly, and religious blessings. For there was the place of worship of the highly esteemed prophets, as well as the place for the descending of the revelation, which was a sacred point with flowing streams surrounded by fully fruit-bearing trees.
في القلب يندس والجرح في أضلعي أطويه يا قدس ما زال سهم الأمس في القلب يندس والجرح في أضلعي
In this part, the danger of the Zionist project, we notice too. The establishment of the Zionist entity to fulfill the role of being a buffer state and colonial stronghold supported by Western colonialism, especially the British, represents the pinnacle of the Western Zionist threat. By establishing it in the heart of the Islamic and Arab lands, it would split the two wings of the Islamic world in Asia and Africa into two separate parts. It would obstruct Muslim unity and thereby weaken it. Hence, this would ensure that the Arab and Muslim world remains divided and incapable of any revival, rotating instead in the orbit of subservience, producing raw materials and consuming Western commodities. The changes of the Zionist state continuing to enjoy stability and growth in a hostile environment rest upon an assurance that Muslim states around it remain weak, fragmented, and underdeveloped. Likewise, the likelihood of the revival of the Muslim Ummah or nation, its unity and strength is also dependent upon its ability to end the Zionist occupation of Palestine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today we are going to talk about the issue of Palestine and the importance of this issue in the Islam world and in the whole world. From humanitarian perspective, the oppression suffered by Palestinians
by Palestinian families and how they are being treated would make all human beings feel responsible. It is surprising that human rights organizations are so indifferent. America and some other Western countries, as well as those who claim to be responsible for promoting democracy in the world, have disgraced themselves in the case of Palestine. That is because there is a nation now that does not have any role in the management of its homeland. This nation can never make its voice heard. Palestinians are an oppressed nation from a humanitarian point of view. They are faced with a highly oppressive and racist government. And this is a big lie told by America, international organizations, and Western intellectuals in their claim of promoting democracy. From a security perspective, Israel is a threat to the security of its own people as well as the entire region. That is because they have nuclear arsenal and they are proliferating atomic weapons. The United Nations has warned them several times, but they have ignored their warnings. Of course, their disregard for UN warnings is mainly because of America's support. That is to say, the American regime is responsible for a large portion of the Zionist crimes. During the decades that they have been ruling Palestine, more than 30 resolutions have been passed by the UN Security Council against Israel, but America has voted all of these resolutions.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, Hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
This is a short part of leader's speech on Palestine. From an economic perspective, Israel is a threat to the region. The Zionists who are ruling Palestine have proposed a thesis called the New Middle East. What does it mean? It means that a New Middle East should be formed around the axis of Israel and that Israel should gradually gain economic domination over Arab countries and other nations in the region as well as the oil-rich areas in the Middle East. That is the goal of the Zionists. Some of these governments are not vigilant. When these governments face criticisms, they say they did not form any relations with Israel and that they only let Israeli businessmen into their country. That is exactly what the Zionists want. They want Israel, backed by America and dangerous Zionist arsenals, to take advantage of the unawareness and weakness of some governments. They want Israelis to enter those countries and take control of their economic centers and financial resources. That is a big threat to the region. This is greater than any other threat. God will never let that happen. Muslim nations will never let such a thing happen. Ya Ghazat al-Ahrari, Suri, Suri, على الفجار. One way that we can support Palestinians is Shop Palestine. There are a number of brands and products made by Palestine-based companies and creators that you can buy from directly, helping to support the local Gaza economy. The online marketplace Shop Palestine sells an assortment of products from Palestinian merchants, including hand-woven rugs, ceramics, jewelry, and ships internationally. You can also support the wider diaspora. Check in your area to see if there are shops and restaurants owned by Palestinian immigrants or individuals.
From an economic perspective, Israel is a threat to the region. The Zionists who are ruling Palestine have proposed a thesis called the New Middle East. What does it mean? It means that a new Middle East should be formed around the axis of Israel, and that Israel should gradually gain economic domination over Arab countries and other nations in the region, as well as the oil-rich areas in the Middle East. That is the goal of the Zionists. Some of these governments are not vigilant. When these governments face criticisms, they say they did not form any relations with Israel and that they only let Israel businessmen into their country. That is exactly what the Zionists want. They want Israel backed by America and the dangerous Zionist arsenals to take advantage of the unawareness and weakness of some governments. They want Israel to enter those countries and take control of their economic centers and financial threat. God will never let that happen. Muslim nations will never let such a thing happen. But their plan is to take control of all centers of power in different countries by relying on economic means. Therefore, from Islamic, humanitarian, economic, security, and political perspectives, the existence of Israel is a great threat to the countries of the region.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. We were talking about Palestine, and we continue this topic on the next episode, inshallah. Till then, wassalamu alaikum.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli warplanes target areas near 3 hospitals in the Gaza Strip after the regime orders 20 hospitals in the siege territory to evacuate. Iran's President Raisi strongly condemns U.S. President's pro-Israeli remarks as reactionary and inhumane, saying they prove the regime's fake nature. As people around the world take to the streets to condemn Israeli atrocities against the people of Palestine.